This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I was talking to Tony last night at home. This is a friend of our family's in New York. He said there's something like 3,000 orphans as the result of the World Trade Center attack, and that means that there are literally 3,000 orphans means they got to be put into a home. They don't have any parents anymore. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Chris. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Chris?
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah, how you doing?
Fine.
Been listening to your show for a couple months. I dig it. I find myself very, very good show. Very funny. My comment is in regards to Pat Robertson, the comments you made about him.
Uh-huh.
I think, you follow me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you, man.
Okay, the only thing I want to say about him is I think you need to cut him a little bit of slack, Phil, because, you know, one thing about the guy is he believes, I guess, in what the Bible talks about in Revelation and some of the things that are predicted, some of the devastating things that are brought up in Revelation. He believes these things.
Good, okay.
As does most of the Christian world.
No, it doesn't. Most of the Christian world. What are you talking about, Catholics? You're talking about all kinds of people, Lutherans, fundamentalists, Baptists, Methodists. I can tell you, Catholics, now there's part of the Christian world, they don't believe it.
Well, first of all, I'm Catholic.
All right, I was raised Catholic, and there's nothing in my belief system that says the world is going to be, you know, annihilated by God in a big fireball.
Well, no, in the book of Revelation, have you ever read the book of Revelations?
If you were raised Catholic, then you know full well that there was not a whole lot of Bible study going on.
Exactly.
If you're getting a lot of Bible study, brother, you ain't doing no Catholic thing. You're doing something else.
Well, that's what I have switched over.
Okay,
to a type Protestant type of religion, but I have read the book. I've studied it, and
that's fine. I don't want to do a religion thing. You can believe what you want, and I hope you're right. I hope you're wrong. Whatever. People have been predicting the end since the beginning. Every generation
wrong. It's wrong to predict.
Yeah, but they all have been predicting the end, and they've all sworn up and down they were right, and they all cited Revelations, and whether it was World War II, that was the beginning of the end, and Hitler was the Antichrist. Whether it was World War I, people thought World War I was the beginning of the end of civilization like you wouldn't believe.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't even believe there were religious people running around then saying that was the beginning of the end. And then, of course, we had the conflicts of Europe during the 19th century. We had the 100 Years' War, the bubonic plague. There's an interesting 14th century moment in time when we were sure the Jews were poisoning the wells and causing this plague, but God was sending this plague as the beginning of the end then. And yet the world has survived every cataclysm ever predicted by any religious group at any given time, anywhere in the history of this world. And yet we still must suffer not just their commentary. It's fine. It's okay. I get a kick out of it. I like watching some of the guys on TV. I even send them money occasionally when they give me a real good laugh. But it isn't just suffering their commentary. We are suffering increasingly their intrusion, their finger-pointing, their inspiring people to acts of violence. It happens in the Christian world, it happens in the Muslim world, it happens in the Jewish world, and the rest of us are getting tired of it. We're getting real tired of it. Now, we saw 6,000 people get slaughtered in the name of some, I don't know what the hell you call it, Muslim, Islam, some nutcase, some deal that gets all about. But it's not anything that we're not used to in this country when it comes to religious-inspired violence. We've had doctors shot in the back. In the back. Not in the front, in the back. Because they don't believe what some guy believes. We've had people's churches burned, we've had people's homes burned, etc. And I think the world is reaching a spot where we're just not going to stand for this garbage any longer, religiously inspired, no matter what the religion. And I don't care what book you're reading it out of. It's fine. You can do it. But if you're telling me, and I want to be very clear, if you're telling me that your religion tells you it's cool to go out and to kill, well, all right, then maybe it does. But you know what? Now the government has to step in and do something about it. Now I, as a citizen, I got to step in and do something about it. I don't give a crap whether you think you know that God says that it's cool. It doesn't make any difference. You can believe any fairy tale you want in the privacy of your own home. But if you're telling me that your religion says that it's cool to go out and kill, for certain reasons. And I mean kill within the framework of our society. Because we believe that killing is all right in certain instances, such as going to war. We believe that the society has a right to defend itself. Religion in America has to fold itself into the greater will of the society. Whether you get that or not, whether you understand it or not, you're going to have to sooner or later, or just chuck it, man. Move to the mountains or give up your religion. Religion must. This is not a choice. It must fold itself within the larger context of the society. And I don't care if you claim that your freedom of religion gives you the freedom to go out and take somebody's life who's running a clinic here or doing something there or something else. You'll go to jail. You'll rot there for the rest of your life if you don't get gassed, iced, or some other marvelous way that we have to put you away these days. And we got some good ones. Because the society in general, in the larger context of society, says you are a danger to our survival, and your so-called freedom of religion now has transgressed into the well-being of our people. So go out, practice whatever you want, wear whatever you want. And I didn't mean to make it sound as if I don't think you ought to be wearing your funny-looking hats and your shawls and all that crap. Wear whatever the hell you want to wear. What I'm saying is that I've really tired of, and so have the rest of Americans that I talk to anyway, tired of religion being given this reign, this free reign, to the point where now it is an acceptable form of discussion and public discourse as to whether it's all right to go out and commit murder in the name of religion. We actually have this conversation now in our country, not in Afghanistan. Everybody's looking down their nose at Afghanistan and the Taliban. Those clowns are they're just another chapter in a long clown book. And we're not talking about it in Iraq. We've had these discussions right here in America. Whether it is moral to go out and slaughter people in the name of Jesus. It is not. You're not allowed to do it. You're breaking the law. You're going to go to jail. You're going to go to the gas chamber, whatever it is that we must do as a society to defend ourselves. I don't care if you're Tim McVeigh. I don't care if you've got a legitimate beef against the government. I don't care if you think the government's got its hand in your pocket too much. I don't care what your problem is. The rest of us who find this to be a perfectly workable society, who are still in the majority, will hunt you down, put you in jail, and put you away. Now, when the day comes, and God, I hope it never does, or if it does, I hope I am dead and buried. If the day ever comes when the Tim McVeighs of the world, the Osama bin Ladens of the world, the guys that run around, who's this Eric Rudolph, when those guys have a majority in this country, then you can kiss America goodbye, you can flush it down the toilet, those guys can set up whatever world they think they want to set up. They can put any society they want. They can lay it out there. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. You can kiss America goodbye, flush the whole shooting match down the toilet, and we can all run around with the Tim McVeighs and the Eric Rudolphs of the world telling us how it is, calling the shots, and what a wonderful world it will be, right? And the same goes for bin Laden, who wants to build his world. But right now, he's in the minority, and the rest of us are trying desperately to hang on to whatever society we think we got, whatever culture we think we have, whatever small, little square inch of civilized soil we can occupy. We want to hold on to it for as long as we can. Do whatever you want to do with your religion, but you are not allowed anymore to talk about and to inspire violent acts against people. And that starts with the Pat Robertsons of the world, who, in my opinion, ought to be in a jail cell. Because as far as I'm concerned, what he's saying on his television show now is tantamount to a conspiracy to inspire further violent acts. And I'm listening to a lot of people talking about they don't want to give up their freedom of speech, and Pat Robertson's allowed to say whatever it is that he wants to say. If one person dies as the result of something that piece of garbage has, well, you know, I don't even want to give him that kind of dig. That clown, he's a clown. If somebody dies as a result of something that this guy said, All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
So PBS has got this thing, New York, the documentary. You're telling me I can go home and watch it again? They repeat this stuff every 3 hours? Oh, it's the East Coast feed? This is a great thing. It's called New York. It's a documentary about the city of New York. It's amazing. I'm going to run home and I'm going to watch this. I was going to run home and watch Weakest Link. It's a toss-up. 1-800-449-8686. I think I got Kelly. Kelly, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Kelly.
Yes, hi, this is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Fine.
Great. Listen, I just wanted to make a clarification on there. There's a lot that's being said about religion and so forth, and I understand to each their own. However, one distinction that I did want to make on there was that I think for the most part that people are smart enough to know that there are different interpretations of the Bible. And then the only one that you can truly go by is, you know, not, you know, whether it's Pat Robertson's or whoever else's interpretation, but your own and your own relationship with God. You know, and to further clarify, it's really...
I don't understand that at all. And I don't need to have it clarified. You can do whatever you want. You can have your own interpretation. I don't care. What you're not allowed to do is slop your religion over into secular society to the point where you're violating laws and trying to find justification for it in your Bible, because that's not going to go.
Well,
that's not going to work, and we're going to put people in jail, and they're going to sit and they can rot in jail and read their Bible there. So, you know, interpret it any way you want. Do whatever you like.
That's exactly what I think. Actually, we're on the same page here, because nowhere in the Bible...
Well, I'm not interested, but you see, what you're not understanding is I'm not interested in what it says in the Bible. I couldn't be less interested.
Well, that's
I'm simply saying that whatever it... I beg your pardon?
I'm responding to that.
You're responding to what, ma'am?
Just responding to what your topic is.
I don't have a topic. I don't have a topic.
Well, what you made it, or what the audience or yourself has made into the topic. But the point
there is no topic. I'm simply saying that I'm simply... No, wait, hold on. Because you're not hearing me.
Well, I'm...
You're not hearing me.
I am.
I can't even get a word out here, Kelly. No. I'm not interested in your point. I want you to hear me for a second here, okay?
Actually, the people themselves.
By the way, this is what a lot of Christians do. They just keep talking. Go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. Talk on. Like I was saying,
they just keep
God
talking.
Isn't the one that made any of this bad things happen. It's actually the people themselves.
How do you know that?
How do you know that?
How do you know God didn't make this all happen?
In the Bible,
Pat Robertson says that God made it happen.
I'm sorry?
Pat Robertson said he made it happen.
Well, again, you're looking at somebody's interpretation of that. Again, you have
well,
to
why should I take your interpretation? You do you understand that? You see how we're chasing our tail here?
No,
you can interpret it any way that you want. I'll interpret it any way that I want. The point is, you can do anything that you want, but you're not allowed to break the law. So, Kelly, have your interpretation. Pat Robertson can have his. The minute somebody goes out and commits a violent act in interpretation of that Bible, then they're going to go down for the count, because the rest of the world is getting sick and tired of religious fundamentalists interpreting their religious tracts, whether it be the Quran, whether it be the Bible or anything else, to the point where they're violating our laws and murdering people.
I don't think you're hearing what I'm saying.
You're not hearing what I'm saying. What I'm saying is perfectly clear. Interpret the Bible any way you want. I'm not interested what's in it. What
well,
I am interested in...
You,
oh,
what,
my God.
What have I just told you?
Oh, my God. You told me that the Bible doesn't say that violence is an acceptable form. That the Bible doesn't endorse it. And I'm trying to tell you for the fifth time, I don't care what's in the Bible. All I care about is that you people who believe in it do not interpret it in such a way that you are violating the law. when it comes to murdering people.
I think that you're generalizing a large amount of the population when you say you people, so you might want to...
Well, whoever you guys are that are going out there and blowing away abortion doctors, shooting them in the back, blowing up clinics to the point where people are mutilated for life, killing people, or whatever religious thing that people need to do.
Christian means...
Do you?
When you use that term, do you understand what that means?
It means somebody who uses the Bible as justification for what they do in life.
No. See, you have
So, Kelly, why should I take your word for it when I got Pat Robertson telling me that God is going to visit hell on us like we've never seen before? Why should I take your word for it? Pat Robertson told me something different.
That's just
I'm not a Christian, okay? I'm not telling you what's in the Bible. I'm trying to tell you now, this will be for the sixth time, that you can have your religion any way you want it. You can do anything that you want. You're not allowed to break the law. You're not allowed to murder people in the name of Jesus.
Right, and have I told you anything that indicates...
I'm not saying you in the singular, Kelly. I'm saying you, if you take the Bible to be an endorsement of violent, murderous acts in the name of God.
You know, you would really have to finagle a lot of words in order to get that type of saying out of the Bible.
Not according to some people, not according to the Eric Rudolphs of the world, not according to the Pat Robertsons of the world.
The thing is, it doesn't make that right. Just because
okay. I mean, I don't know. You can tell me it's just a sweetheart of a religion, and okay, I believe you sound like a nice person. But there's some people who say, no, you're wrong, Kelly. God does say we can go out and, like, splatter somebody's guts all over the sidewalk. It's in the Bible.
Well, I think people just need to be really careful on who they're listening to and make sure that they have their own understanding of it. That's the important part.
And if their own understanding of it says they can go out and shoot somebody, what do you think about that?
Oh, no. I think
then that's not the right understanding.
No, I really think for the majority of part, there's going to be people there with common sense that understand that you cannot just go out.
You understand that there are some people who have their own interpretation of the Bible, and it means they can plant bombs and kill people.
Oh, that's very extreme. I mean,
yes, I agree, it's extreme, but nonetheless, they have their own interpretation.
Yeah, and you're going to have people that have nothing to do with the Bible that are going to think that.
Not according to them. Not according to them.
I'm just saying, it's probably. Be very cautious whenever you generalize.
Right. Be very cautious. You know what? I'm going to say this to you then. Huh. Be very cautious in the way you practice your religion so that it doesn't break any of the laws of the society that I value. Okay? Would you do me that favor? And I'll be very cautious in how I talk about Christians. How about that? Is that fair?
Well, I tell you what.
You can't make me that promise. I'm making you the promise that I will not generalize. Will you make me the promise that in the name of a religion, you're not going to go out and butcher somebody up? Can you make me that promise?
Why would you even question something like that?
I'm asking you, will you make me that promise? I've just promised you I will not generalize if you'll promise me that in the name of Christianity and Jesus, you'll not go out and commit murder.
Well, God tells us, thou shalt not kill.
So you're promising me that? You're promising me that?
Well, of course, I promise God that even more.
But are you promising me?
Well, I tell you what, if he's on a higher pedestal than you are, then...
No, I'm asking you to promise me, Phil Hendry. A member of the world that you live. You know, it's taken me a minute to try to get this out of you. I promised you I will not generalize if you'll promise me that in name of religion you won't go out and murder. Can you do that?
Well, why would I ever want to?
I'm just asking you. Will you promise me you won't do that?
That's a rhetorical question.
No, I'm asking you directly. Will you promise me that you can't do it, Kelly? It tells me a lot about where you're coming from with your, quote, religion. Excuse me, I'm gagging on that last call. Now, she was a nice lady. She was a nice lady. But I can tell one of these dogmatic, dictatorial, philosophically rigid people when I hear them. They got their way of doing it. It's just the way... Well, I guess I'm one of them. What the hell? But I did promise her I wouldn't generalize, and I'm going to keep my promise, Kelly. And you can do whatever it is that you do. Make your promise to God or Jesus or somebody else. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show. Our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. In the coming weeks on our website, you're going to see some great stuff, including a new scrapbook feature. You're going to see pictures of me 20 years ago in the radio business as I came up through the talk radio business. Various newspaper and magazine articles have been written about me, all self-aggrandizing crap that's really boring to everybody except me, coming soon on our website. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, here's how it works. In some of the markets that we're in, we're live. Some were tape delayed. So where we are live right now, as you know, Barry Bonds tonight will be going after home run number 70 and 71. I don't know where they're playing. You got any idea where they're playing, Mike? Playing in Houston. In Houston. Great city of Houston. So Barry Bonds and the San Francisco Giants in Houston to see whether or not they can, you know, Barry can break Mark McGwire's single-season home run record. With me is Herb Sewell. He's the author of the book, Those Hazy, Crazy Days of Summer. It's been an interesting home run chase, I think. Hasn't it been fun? And the other thing I would say, Herb, is what has been or what is the most compelling thing about the single-season home run record?
I would say there's a continuity that is refreshing and timeless. That's what people love about baseball, tradition. It's history.
What about Barry Bonds and his assuming the mantle of home run king?
I would say that Barry Bonds becoming the home run single season leader would be a bit of a break in the tradition of the home run single season hitter.
That's interesting. Why do you say that? That a break in the tradition?
Why do I say that? Well, let's take them one at a time. Babe Ruth was the single-season home run leader for many years. He loved children. He gave out autographs, gave them all over the place. Roger Maris, a family man, quiet hero of the upper Midwest. Mark McGwire, clean-cut California boy, active in charities. His son, I believe, is a bat boy in the St. Louis Cardinal organization. All three of them are sort of Bond, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, kind of a Barry Bond, huh? And then there is Barry Bonds. What about Barry Bonds?
And then there's Barry Bonds, who he doesn't seem to fit that mold. He doesn't seem to...
Doesn't fit what mold?
I don't know what it is. He's quiet and retiring. He's a little bit moody. That must be it.
Well, Barry Bonds doesn't fit the mold. He's not white. I mean, you had Babe Ruth.
Well, it's not racial. I'm not a racist.
I'm not accusing you of being a racist. But Barry Bonds, you say, breaks the mold.
He does break the mold. It's jarring. It's the best word that I can say.
What do you mean jarring?
Right now, you can take, for instance, the Wheatie boxes across America. The face of Mark McGwire. I can imagine a young boy or girl pulling down the box of Wheaties, and suddenly there's a black face instead of the white face that they had seen for three or four seasons. And it jars you. It sort of assaults the nervous system. And you have to understand, baseball fans are a little more nervous. They're jittery. Football fans can take a lot. Hockey fans. Baseball fans have had, down through the years, sitting on their rear ends for innings at a time, telling each other stories, drinking beer, or listening to a CD because nothing is going on in the field. And then you throw a new home run king at them, and yes, Barry is rather dark, and that stuns them.
You know, you're coming up with some notions about Barry Bonds. Why don't you just admit that you are bothered by, and perhaps other fans are bothered by, the fact that he's black?
I am completely comfortable with people of all races. There isn't a racist bone in my body.
Well, let's see, Mark McGwire.
I don't think that...
You know, Mark McGwire, you talk about moody and retiring. Roger Maris was moody and retiring. Roger Maris wasn't very forthcoming with the press. The press didn't like him, and he didn't like them. And yet you've got him up there, Maris, Babe Ruth, and Mark McGwire, all the same guy, and Barry Bonds is different. Okay? What about Sammy Sosa? If you say it's not race, what about Sammy Sosa? He's not moody. He's a nice guy.
Sammy Sosa is a good man, but a bit unusual.
It's because he's black, isn't it?
No, I'm not racist. And this really doesn't have...
Well, why don't you say this then, Herb? You would rather it be a white man who breaks Mark McGwire's record, or Mark just hold on to the record?
I would rather it be a white man.
And so does that make you a racist?
No, that does not make me racist.
That doesn't make you... You say you would rather a white guy be the, you know, you're an author of a book. I'm afraid that some people may not want to buy your book as a result of some of these opinions you're expressing. You know what I'm saying?
I am saying I don't mind saying to you that I'd rather the home run hitter be a white man, and it doesn't make me racist. It's simply preference. And
preference based on the fact that a white guy wouldn't be as jarring.
It's not quite as jarring in the single season. We're used to seeing white people at the top of that list. For instance, the home run career record is held by a black man, which is Hank Aaron. And that was a little nerve-wracking.
I don't recall it being nerve-wracking. I remember when Hank Aaron hit the home run that broke Babe Ruth's record. It was like a big thing.
Well, you're right. Bonds just doesn't have that fun look that a lot of them have. And I'd like someone that had more of a fun look.
And a lighter complexion.
I want to say that I'm not a racist. And
yeah, I understand. You're not a racist. You just want a guy who's a little bit more...
More fun.
More fun. Sammy Sosa ain't fun, huh? Never mind. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking with Herb Sewell, author of the Hazy Crazy Days of Summer baseball book. And we're talking about Barry Bonds chasing the home run record of Mark McGwire. Barry Bonds is at 69. McGwire's record is 72 homers. And he's got it. This may be a conversation that we're having that is going to be just academic.
Well, it might be academic in the from the standpoint that he'll get the home runs. I'm not saying that you're going to have a baseball world that will be able to deal with it. I'm not saying that people don't like Barry, but the jarring look of him on a Wheaties box. Bonds isn't the type of guy a girl can bring home to daddy.
What if your father's black and the girl you're talking about is black?
I didn't think of that. That's
You should think about that. Dad can't bring him home to daddy. Maybe it's because the daddy's white and don't want no black guy coming home to his daughter.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah. Well, what about if the father's black?
I guess then it would be all right, but...
Then it would be okay. I mean, these are things you're not even thinking about.
You know, Phil, I've been listening to you today, and you've had a propensity to yell at a lot of your callers, and...
Well, I apologize. It's been an emotional few weeks, so I didn't mean to yell at you, but you're saying that Barry Bonds... You know... And you're telling me that Barry Bonds isn't your choice? And you're saying that, you know, Babe Ruth and Mark McGwire and Roger Maris, these cats are great because they all are uniform. What is it with you and the up?
Well, I'm trying to say that it's really more color coordination.
I think you're making a joke out of this.
No, I'm not. If you look at the home run list of Babe Ruth and Mark McGwire and Roger Maris, and then all of a sudden Barry Bonds, and you'll go, oh my, oh yeah, you know, you'll sort of jump. You'll jump a little bit. You'll go, holy God. And look what got in the woodpile. I'm just kidding about the woodpile.
Okay, hold on for a minute. Whatever this guy's book's about, the Hazy Crazy Days of Summer baseball book. This guy doesn't want to see Barry Bonds break the record. Not because he's racist. There isn't a racist bone in his body, according to him. It would just be kind of jarring to see Barry on the cover of the Wheaties box after Mark being there for three seasons. Been three or four? Four. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And that some of my best friends are black, and for you to infer...
I don't... You know what? I don't want to get into whether your best friends are black or not. You said that Barry Bonds winning the home run race this year means we've got a black home run, single-season home run champion, and that's jarring.
I think that
You also mentioned that seeing his face on a Wheaties box would make women gasp.
I think the fairer sex, I think anyone who has a nervous system that might be a bit more delicate would see Barry Bonds on a Wheaties box or see him going into a restaurant, and the heart skips a beat. It does. And I would say that...
The heart skips a beat. I don't know where you've been, man. You say you've been writing about baseball.
I've been to a lot of clubs, private clubs. Mark McGuire's the kind of guy, for instance, Phil, you can go into a private club downtown and have a drink. If you're trying to get into a private club downtown with Barry Bonds, the doorman might not let him in.
And well, then what are you drinking in a club like that for?
There's not a racist bone in my body, but I do belong to some clubs because they have good... weight training equipment and good cigars. And
so you belong to a club that doesn't allow blacks or Jews?
That's correct.
Because they got good cigars and weight training.
I'm not a racist.
No, not at all. Let's just go down to my favorite club. What are you talking about? What club is this?
I really don't want to say, Phil.
What's the name of the club? I want to know where the club is that's not allowing African Americans or Jewish people in, and you're there because you like the cigars and the weight training.
It's called the Burn Club.
I'm sorry?
It's in downtown Vernon. It's called the Burn.
I didn't understand him. Here is Larice on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Larice. Go ahead.
I just want to say, how could you not say that you're racist? I'm a white woman, and it wouldn't jar me to see him in a club or on a Wheaties box. I would be proud for him.
Have you, is it Clarice or Larice?
Larice with an L.
Ah, that's a very lovely name, Larice. No, I'm
Thank
not,
you.
I'm not, and with a name like that, I'd have to ask you, and I hope you're not offended. Are you black?
No, I'm white.
Okay.
Now, why did you ask her that?
Well, the name.
The name?
The name is French.
Well, sure.
Go ahead with your question.
I want to ask Larice this question. If you saw Barry Bonds walking into a restaurant, wouldn't you gasp and hold your heart?
Why would she do
that? No.
I'm asking the young lady. What?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I live in a big city.
Would you ask
I have
for,
lots
you...
of friends of different ethnic and
well,
racial backgrounds.
Let me ask you, Larice, would you ask him for his autograph?
Well, if I were a huge baseball friend, yes. I'm a huge basketball fan.
Now, see,
and my favorite player are Ketino Mobley and Steve Francis.
Right. See, that proves
and
that,
they're
that,
black.
That proves that it scares you.
Why does that prove it scares
no.
her?
Because she wants to get Barry Bonds' autograph to prove to people that she actually, you know, see, you know, you're not going to believe what I saw, and here's the autograph of a black man.
Now, no.
Well, nobody knows
oh,
that.
Man.
No. Isn't that what you do? You'd go up and ask the man for his autograph in order to prove to your friends you wouldn't believe who they let into
no,
the restaurant.
No, I mean,
tonight.
I probably wouldn't ask him because I didn't know who he was until I listened to your show because I don't watch.
She's
baseball.
She's getting an autograph from a sports hero. What do you mean? You show it to somebody and say you wouldn't believe who they let in the restaurant tonight?
The few
I mean,
times, yes, Larice, listen. The few times I've been in the same room as Barry Bonds, I got to tell you, I've checked my pocket for my wallet.
And you're not a racist.
No, I don't know why you keep bringing that up.
You would have to be, because one, baseball players make enough money, you wouldn't need to check your pocket for your wallet.
Well, if you're around Barry, you just...
Well, then it's Barry, it ain't race.
I said it's not race. I'm not a racist, Larice. There isn't a racist bone in my body. And the
then
proof
it,
of that... The proof
then
of
it
that
shouldn't
is,
jar you to see his picture on a Wheaties box are in a restaurant because he would just be another sports player.
I'm on a defibrillation medicine which helps an irregular heartbeat. And I had to go on that medicine when the first time I saw the proof prints for the Wheaties box with Barry's face on it. And my heart started going...
You're out of your mind. You know that?
No, it didn't say that. It said...
Wait a second. I'm not talking about whether your heart's talking to you or not. You got to be crazy to say, hey, let me get Barry Bonds' autograph so I can show it to my friends. They're going to believe who was walking into the private club tonight. And if you're not a racist, how come you're a member of a club where they don't let any blacks in?
You know why? They've got a great poblano chili soup that I just...
Yeah. All right, Larice, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Kevin on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, this guy's a full-blown racist. He needs a hood and a white KKK cape.
How do you figure?
How do I figure? Listen, I'm not a huge Barry Bonds fan because the man doesn't stay in the same hotel as his team, and he doesn't, and he, you know, he's not forthcoming with the press.
Right, that's why.
But to, yeah, but to say that, that people would be jarred to see him on the box, I mean, you know, that this is a, you know, we're in America. I can't believe that you claim you're not a racist. You belong to clubs that don't allow blacks and Jews.
I beg your pardon?
You belong to clubs that don't allow blacks and Jews.
They've got good food.
Oh, come on. You have got to be kidding me.
Why don't you stand up and say, I'm not going to be in any club that doesn't allow folks
exactly.
like that?
Exactly. Thank you.
I would,
thank
but
you.
I would, but they have a wonderful porterhouse steak.
No, you know what? You are the world's biggest hypocrite, and you're a bigot. You're a full-blown bigot.
How can you call me a bigot when I employ at least 3 African-Americans in my home? And, oh, I see.
Yeah, you're absolutely unbelievable.
That proves your point. Is that it?
You're checking your wallet when you see Barry Bonds in a Barry Bonds makes more in a game than you make in a year. You think the guy's going to lift your wallet?
It's an instinctive.
You think he's going to lift your wallet because he's black? You're a full blown bigot. You should be wearing a KKK hat.
I couldn't have said it. Couldn't have said it better myself, Kevin.
You're a full blown bigot. I don't know where you got this guy.
I think this gentleman's right.
Full blown bigot.
How do you figure I'm a bigot?
Because of the fact, first of all, I would not belong to a club if they gave away the cigars and they gave away the porterhouse. You don't belong to a club that doesn't allow blacks and Jews. That's endorsing their policy.
That's you. It's not me. And
that's
why
right,
would
because
you,
I'm not a bigot.
Yeah, why would you endorse the policy of this club?
They've got a cream of mushroom soup.
If we forget about the food, man.
Yeah, forget about their menu. If you, by attending that club, paying your dues.
You know who I wouldn't mind seeing break the record? David Justice. What's wrong with that?
You're a bigot.
How am I a bigot?
David Justice.
Right.
Little cream in that coffee there, isn't there?
I didn't say that.
Well, bull crap, you didn't. He's black, but he's got a little white blood going, doesn't he?
Exactly.
I never said any such thing. I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have picked a lighter-skinned player that you'd like to see Blake break the record. I mean, you are
black.
A full-blown bigot.
About, he is as black as the Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be really good for your book sales. My God.
Holy God.
I hope the world's listening, because this is going to cripple your book sales. I mean, you're a bigot.
The book is called Those Hazy Crazy Dickies.
Yeah, we got it. It's a stupid name for a book, too.
I don't know where the hell you find this guy.
Now you're making me cry.
You're a full-blown bigot.
Well, you're making me cry.
Well, go ahead and cry, you bigot.
You don't get to come into the club that I belong to. Go get your good cigars
and eat your T-bones and hang out with the rest of your racist friends.
I didn't say T-bone. I said porterhouse.
Well, whatever.
Pardon me, bigot.
You want to buy my book?
No, I don't want to buy. You couldn't give me your book. I wouldn't. That's just as much as me endorsing a racist as going to your club with the porterhouse and the mushrooms. And you're crazy. You know,
cream of mushroom.
Okay,
yeah,
we
I think
got
you're
it.
Eating mushrooms. That's Fruit. What I. Think.
Yeah, no kidding. Psilocybin mushrooms.
Exactly. I've never heard a bigger bigot. And for you to sit here and say that you don't have a racist bone in your body,
I don't
is
have a
absolutely
bone
unbelievable.
In my
Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Kevin.
Absolutely unbelievable.
You don't want my book.